Welcome to the Answers for Elders radio show. Meet the trusted experts who will give you straight answers and will help guide you on the path of later life care. Now, here's your host, founder, caregiver, and CEO, Suzanne Newman.
And welcome back, everyone, to Answers for Elders Radio Network, heard across the USA and on your favorite podcast channel. And please check us out on YouTube at Answers for Elders. We are here with Stephen Waltar, an amazing, my personal friend, estate planning attorney. And we are talking about trust. And this is segment three of a four-part series. So make sure that you check the other two out if you're just finding us now. And we're talking about trusts. Steve, welcome back. This is really a fascinating topic because I don't think it's the average world knows that much about trusts, even though they've been around, like you said, since the King's Court.
Yeah.
So you probably talk to families all the time about trusts and the three parts of that. But you, we're going to talk this segment about trustees. First of all, before we start, would you define what a trustee is for a trust in a trust?
Yeah, a trustee is the manager. They're the ones that kind of holds legal title. And it's a fiduciary position, meaning they are doing it on behalf of someone else.
So go ahead.
Well, I mean, in a revocable living trust, husband and wife are probably their own trustees, but they're going to have successors that work after they're incapacitated or when they die. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what we're talking about. Who can do this job? How important is this job?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously. So when you're looking at that, obviously that a trustee can do a lot of things, like after death is primarily when that takes over. Oftentimes, if the managers or the owners of the trust are not the trustees. Once they pass, then obviously there has to be a trustee. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. Trust will never die because you run out of trustees. There's a way to get someone appointed.
That's awesome. So obviously a trustee can manage the trust or what we call the estate of someone. Now that's obviously another term, but it's not necessarily a trust, is there? Is it? When we say an estate, could be assets, it could be other things that are not part of the trust.
Like when people die and they don't have a trust, you know, you go to court and you used to be called an executor or executrix. You appoint a personal representative that is appointed by the court and has authority to buy, sell, lease, transfer, you know, do distributions. The successor trustee does all of those things.
Got it.
It's just that they are doing that for assets in the trust.
Got it.
They're not doing that for things that pay by death directly to a, you know, life insurance that pays the beneficiaries or something. They're just managing the trust assets. So anything that was managed during lifetime would just be managed during the administration period of the trust.
So obviously a trustee may not be the executor, or it would be. It depends on what the wishes are of the individual that has drafted the
it's
trust.
It's usually the same. You know, it's like your will lists the backup executor or personal rep in case there's a probate, but they are designed to be your trustee of your trust.
Okay. Well, that makes
kind of your trusted person. They trust you to buy, sell, lease, transfer, to communicate with the kids, to do the taxation reporting and follow your wishes.
And obviously it could be an outside source. It could be a son or daughter. It could be anyone that that unit, that original trust creators trust completely, obviously. So how, I guess the question is, what are the qualities to be a trustee? That's a huge responsibility to pass forward.
Yeah, I mean, qualities, that's a good question. I mean, qualities are trustworthy, honest, good communicator, fair, unbiased. I mean, it goes on and on. I think that the knowledge base is you want someone that at least understands your kinds of assets, right? If you're into lots of fancy buying, selling, and puts and this, you want someone, if they've never had any stock account, they're probably not a good candidate.
Sure.
Now, they can hire the financial advisors, the attorneys, the accountants, but they need to have a base level of understanding your types of assets. But as a person or as a institution, they have to have, you know, really high values. They can't put their interest above the interest of the beneficiaries.
Yeah.
They can't be disorganized, right? And frequently people are listing children and they're not sure, right? So sometimes you'll have co-trustees. Well, I know my son would be fair, but he's just not organized. My daughter, she's, or, you know, well, okay. Do we build them as co? They both have to sign, or is it and or one will do the work? I mean,
that sometimes is hard in itself. Yeah. I always tell families, in my personal opinion, your executor should not be an heir, because it oftentimes ends up being that there's this, you know, conflict, and it's not fair to that person to be in the middle of it when they're just, they're a beneficiary, right? They're getting things equally with everyone else. I think it saves a lot of family arguments. And if it's just an independent source that is not an heir, obviously there's a big difference in that case, because it's just then a financial transaction. And I don't know. It's my opinion in most cases that people should do that. And yet people tend to appoint an heir. And I understand that to a certain degree. But why do you think that is, Steve?
Well, first of all, you're not wrong. I mean, it's a thankless job. Mm-hmm. And if someone's an heir and they charge for doing the work, and it is work, then the other siblings don't understand it, don't appreciate it. They think it's being unfair. and sometimes there's tension between siblings. And sometimes it is better to have a trustee. I mean, banks are not known for being, you know, sensitive, but at least if they don't like the bank, that's a little different than disliking a brother or sister.
Right.
So I don't know. I think clients often want to avoid the fees. That's actually the biggest problem. I mean, they want to avoid the fees. They figure the kids would do it for free. I'm saying, well, the kids could charge as well. Mm-hmm. Or we might say, in the event they act, they get a little bonus. They get a little kind of gift that's not taxable. Because when you work and you declare, that's gross income to you. So it's kind of a,
sure.
I don't know. Your question is, why do they list the family? Because they figure they're the beneficiaries. They want to keep it private. They figure everyone gets along.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little saying in estate planning that the planners are the givers, those that do the wills and trusts. And then when someone dies, it's the takers. Right? They want the money, and they want it now, and they don't appreciate who's doing all the work. Yeah. I've handled hundreds and hundreds of estates and probates.
I can imagine.
One time, Bank of America said, it's not big enough. We don't want to be the personal rep. And will you do it? And so I did it. I meant I had to clean out the storage. I had to go get the car. I had to sell the car. I had to do all that stuff that usually an attorney doesn't do. It's not
clean out the house. That's, you know, not all of the things that happens. And I know when you look at this, I am in awe of all the times, you know, that I've talked to families and people can say, I trust my daughter. And then the next thing I know, I get a call from people saying, well, this isn't right and all this stuff. So my point, I guess, that I'm making is really to sit down. I mean, you sit down with people to help them find that right individual that would be that right person. There's a lot of things to consider.
There's a lot to consider. Yeah. And we've got like some lists on things to consider. I mean, those are available on our website if someone wants to go to waltar.com and they can look that up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The characteristics, the qualities of whoever's involved. Sometimes I just think it's good for people to interview professional firms even before they choose, even if they go back.
Yeah.
It's a good idea to just kind of know, hey, who's there? Who could do what?
Yeah, I think that's true. And obviously, you know, also, to have the conversation, you know, if it is a sibling, have that conversation with all of your family before you pass away. You know, my dad, I'm glad he did that. This is what I've set up. This is how it's going to be. This is what's going to happen. He was really specific with all of us. So we did know, you know, how his estate was going to happen when he passed away. What he didn't make arrangements for, though, is that my stepmother got Alzheimer's, and her, you know, his estate, even though it was in a trust, he didn't set it up in a way that she would be protected and over the long haul. So obviously there's a lot of things that happen, and that, you know, is where somebody like you can help that process go better.
I just pulled up from our website one of these articles.
Yes.
Does he or she have the necessary skills and experience?
Oh, wow.
Can the person be trusted? Does this person create any conflicts? Will this person be capable of fulfilling their role? Sometimes the kids are at too busy stage of life. They have their own kids.
Amen.
Is this person willing to accept the job? Just because you list someone doesn't mean they're going to have to accept.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that that's a really key piece to this. How many family members go through their life, they don't even think about it. And they may not even recognize the process of what they're about to undertake. Because if you become an executor, it's a huge amount of paperwork and a huge amount of responsibility. I think that's something that people don't even know what that responsibility is.
Why don't I give just a few more bullet points on this?
Yes, please do. Here.
Trust administration and the role, managing and protecting trust assets, abiding by the trust terms, unless they're impossible, illegal, or unconscionable. Some stories from law school come back there. investing trust funds using the prudent investor standard. There are rules, right?
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Monitoring trust investments, communicating with beneficiaries, resolving conflicts. That's where the trust protector can actually help. Making discretionary decisions. Many trusts allow for the trustee discretion. And so then that's a challenge. How do you weigh that?
Right.
Actual distribution of funds to beneficiaries.
Mm-hmm.
Approving or denying distributions when it's discretionary.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping detailed trust records. Preparing and paying trust taxes.
And not only that, but if there's a house that needs to be sold, who's going to clear it out? Who's going to hire the realtor? Who's going to hire, you know, accept the offers? All of those things, just in that alone, that is a huge ordeal to take on. So obviously, that's an important discussion to have before you assign that person to be your executor.
Yeah. And
so, Steve, obviously, you help people put together their estate planning documents. And this certainly is an important aspect to have this conversation. And you are providing a free consultation to those who mention Answers for Elders podcast. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And how do they reach you?
It's best to just call us at 425-455-6788. But you can go to our website, and that's Waltar, waltar.com. And there's probably a place to click and get all this set up an appointment. There is homework, right? We're willing to give you time, but you need to be organized so we understand your estate when we meet on a Zoom or in person.
Yeah, that's really important is to be prepared and sit down and have these conversations before they meet with you as well, I'm sure. So anyway, Steve and I, we're going to be right back and we're going to talk about nuts and bolts of living trusts, and we'll be right back.
We at Answers for Elders thank you for listening. Did you know that you can discover hundreds of podcasts in our library on senior care? So visit our website and discover our decision guides that will help you also navigate decision making. Find us at answersforelders.com.